You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Saturday, the 3rd of November. And what a great day of racing we've got in store, from the likes of Weatherby Ascot for some great jumping action on the flat at Newmarket. Over the Irish Sea at Down Royal as well, they've got some great racing. And we've also got supporting cards as well. Newcastle taking us through into the evening. Lots to look forward to. My name's John Gibby. I'll be joined in the studio by Alistair Jones and John O'Connell. But today on the podcast, I'm joined by Kevin O'Malley. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, John. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. This feels like a reunion of last night on Racing Radio.
I can't seem to get rid of you lately. But no, it's been fun. We had a good show yesterday. We've done a bit of video work today, and now we're on the podcast.
So, we're doing everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, and why not? It's a busy time of the year, transition period, obviously, between the flat and the jumps, and tomorrow we have a little bit of everything, but the action I'm most looking forward to is over the jumps for sure.
Well, we're just putting a quick mention for what happened on Friday, and wow, Kevin, what happened on Friday? The horse, I was told, could not be beaten at first, and then I was told he couldn't be beaten if he avoided falling, and then he got beaten. Sam Crow lost in the WKD hurdle, beaten by Bedrock, great rate for Ian Jardine, but Sam Crow, obviously a disappointing performance given he was sent off odds on for Gordon Elliott. He was the favourite for the champion hurdle. He's not going to be the favourite for the champion hurdle after this one, wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, but at the same time, I wouldn't be terribly downbeat about it. I mean, he looked fit enough to run well before the race, but he did look a little bit on the tubby side, I'm not going to lie. You know, he looked like he'd come on a ton for the run. It was also quite a tactical affair. Charger tried to draw the sting out of him. He raced along in second place. He jumped okay on the whole. But, you know, Rachel Blackmore was just able to track the pace. She was on board a fit horse with a lot of speed. And she just outrode them more than anything else, and I certainly wouldn't be too downbeat about it. You know, he looked like he would come on at least a stone for that run. He was given £5 to Bedrock, who was no slouch, and you know, with all due respect, this is not the champion hurdle. It's not about a race, a four runner race at Down Royal in November. You know, it's about the champion hurdle in March and probably Punchestown thereafter, you know. There was a couple of people perhaps saying they'll send him over fences immediately, and, you know, if they do that, fair enough. But I do think they need to stick to their guns, you know, and wait for him to get a bit fitter and see what he's made of over 2 miles. So I think he drifted out to, 4-1 in the William Hill offices on the back of that. Yeah, he's got a bit to prove now, there's no doubt about that, but you know, I certainly wouldn't be giving up on him as a potential champion hurdle horse, that's for sure. But at the same time, I wouldn't be in a rush to back him. I'm just happy to sit back and watch.
My general thoughts on it were, give him another run, you know, he'll have the run under his belt at that stage, there won't really be any excuses. Gordon Elliott wasn't trying to make excuses after the race. He said he thought the horse was fit, but if he were to disappoint again, then for me, you probably do have to start thinking about either fences or stepping up in trip. But if you're looking at long-term Spring Festival targets, of course, it's not all about the Spring Festivals, but once you've gone beyond the champion hurdle over hurdles, you are a little bit limited unless you want to go for the stakes.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, he could take in something like the Hatton's Grace over 2 miles four and take that immediate step up in trip. We've seen it before with the likes of Faheen. It's a natural stepping stone. But really, we want to see him strip a much fitter horse around the Christmas period now and come out around then and be tested again. But really, what Sam Crow needs to be seen to best effect, especially over 2 miles, is an end-to-end championship pace where he can show his absolute class. And I think, you know, he's going to need two or three runs to produce that absolute fitness and that absolute shine on him that we're likely to see at Cheltenham. I don't know what way it's going to go. He's still just about the most interesting horse in training. You know, he's only six. He's only a baby. So, yeah, good luck to him. I hope it all works out. But I certainly wouldn't be giving up on him as a 2 mile hurdler just yet.
That was Sam Crowe, second in a seasonal reappearance at Down Royal on Friday, beaten by Bedrock, a winner there for Ian Jardine, and Rachel Blackmore. Now we move on to looking at racing on Saturday, Kevin. You've got a couple of selections for us. Just before we do talk about those selections, what a quick word on the Charlie Hall, of course, the Grade 2, that for many people does sort of signal the proper start to the jump season, especially people who might be based in the north. But fair to say, this year's renewal, for all we've got a Grade 1 winner in the form of Black Courtin, doesn't quite look up to scratch compared to some of the great races we've seen over the last few years.
That's because it's not. It's quite disappointing, really, that Thistlecrack didn't come out. But what we really need is some rain. You know, we need a little bit of rain to start attracting the better horses coming out. It's still a tidy enough little race. You know, I had a few quid on Definitely Red earlier on in the week. He's the highest rated chaser in the field now, but he does have to give a little bit of weight away to his rivals. With Definitely Red, you could argue that he needs soft ground, but at the same time, I think it's more about jumping. In the better quality of races we've seen so far this season, the likes of Frodon entry last week, jumping is the key asset of the steeplechaser, and if Definitely Red can get into a good rhythm, I think he'll take a little bit of pegging back. But obviously Black Courtin, Briony Frost just gets horses running for her, doesn't she? A Double Shuffle is there as well. You know, he brings a little bit of quality to the field. He was second in the King George last year. Didn't manage to get a win on the board last season, remarkably enough. But he's a quality act, and Virgilio arrives in form as well. So it's an interesting little chase, if lacking a little bit of top-end quality.
We'll look forward to that. You can hear it live on Racing Radio, of course, at Weatherby. There's a couple of the Grade 2s. In fact, it's a good card for Charlie Hall Day. But Kevin, you've got your two selections that we usually ask the pundits to give us on the podcast, and they are running away from the Charlie Hall.
Yeah, we go across the pond to Down Royal for the 2:30, the JaneWine.com Champion Chase, a Grade 1 race, where Jigginstown have got 5 of the 7 runners in their bid to win the race for the 5th year running. So it looks more likely than not that they are going to achieve that feat.
Run 5 in the betting, I believe, as well.
Yeah, indeed. Unless Sandy Mountduke or the in-form, very much in-form, Woodland Opera can stage something of an upset. We get to see the return of Don Polly as well, so it'll be interesting to see how he runs. But as we were talking about yesterday, John, I think the Grand National later on in the season will be more of an interesting target for him. Balco de Flo, the Ryanair Chase winner, he's the highest rated runner in the field on the basis of his impressive Ryanair win at Cheltenham. But he was somewhat flattered in that race, I feel, and there's question marks about him over this 3-mile trip. So I just think Road to Respect for Noel Mead, who has been he's had a winner at this meeting already. The yard has taken over really well. This is just about the time of year where Noel Mead does really well as well. Road to Respect, he's a horse that goes very well fresh. He won impressively at Punchestown last season, before going on to finish second in this race. It's interesting that they skipped that race at Punchestown and they're bringing him here, a fresh horse, for the Grade 1 target. So yeah, I think Road to Respect he's only rated £4 inferior to Balco de Flo, but in terms of raw ability, especially over this 3-mile trip, I think he's every bit as good, and if not a little bit better than Balco de Flo. And as I say, he's going to go well fresh. Noel Mead likes to target this meeting, and I think Road to Respect is my nap of the day for sure.
Roger, respect then the nap for Kevin, 2:30 at JMWine.com Champion Chase. Of course, usually when we've got a busy Saturday, some of the Irish racing does take a backseat, but we'll certainly try and bring you that race from over in Ireland on Racing Radio. And your other selection, does that run at Ascot, Kevin?
The 3:35, the Sodexo Gold Cup, which is a Grade 3 handicap over just shy of 3 miles. The one for money all week has been Nigel Twiston Davis trained Go Conquer, used to be with John Joe Neal, has stacks of very respectable form and does go very well fresh. I just wonder about his mark of 147 and to what extent he's well handicapped off that. But you know, he's an interesting one, and the market has been speaking volumes about his chances. Art Moresque is another one. He's a solid jumper. He could go very well. Adrian Dupont, Paul Nichols. It's an interesting little race. King's Lad, for Colin Tizard and Richard Johnson. He's running off a fairly stiff mark now of 138, but he has been in very good form. But I just like the way that Traffic Fluid ran at Chepstow last time out. I thought he jumped really well. He was carrying an awful lot of weight that day. He was given a stone and £3 to the winner of the Young Master. He went off at 16-1, so not a great deal was expected of the Gary Moore runner that day. But as I say, he was carrying 11-9 to Young Master's 10-6. The Young Master is really turned the corner there, and I actually thought he was quite impressive. Traffic Louis kept chasing, kept trying his best. He jumped well. And I think on the back of that run, I think he's likely to improve Traffic Fluid, and he'll do me for my next best on Saturday.
To be fair, when we're talking about Traffic Fluid as well, we're talking about a horse who, over the last couple of seasons, more often than not, he has been running in some of the top races, graded races, level weights, that sort of thing, and not disgracing himself. And as you say, in a handicap, it is a Grade 3 handicap, but... let's be honest, among some lesser horses, albeit those he does have to give weight away to, as you say, it's got to be of interest.
Yeah, I mean, he ran in a handicap at the festival, and he didn't quite act there, but he really found his feet then back in April at Plumpton. He won a little race at 4-7, and then he returned to Cheltenham back in April, and he won that Grade 2 limited handicap, beating Art of Payroll and another nice horse of Neil Mulholland's called Calandra, who I actually fancy for the big race there next month. And that was a quite nice form. So it was somewhat of a surprise to see him go off at 16-1 for that Chepstow race. He didn't win it, but he did finish a very respectable second, I think. I think Ascot will suit him well. And I think he's fairly handicapped on a mark of 149 for a horse that doesn't have too many miles in the clock. He's often been thought of as a very classy prospect. And as I say, he comes here in the back of a very respectable effort.
That's Traffic Fluid and the 3:35 at Ascot on Saturday. One of a feast of races we've got coming up for you on Racing Radio. Join us from 5:05 for all the day's action. And join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Kevin, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.